You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi. Today is the final day to register to vote in Oregon's May 19th primary election. Dirk Vanderhart reports.
Oregon's closed primary system means a huge chunk of Oregon voters are left out of some of May's hottest races. Only registered Republicans will decide which GOP candidate is the party's nominee for governor. Only registered Democrats will cast ballots in the party's heated legislative primaries. That doesn't mean the 1.3 million Oregonians who belong to neither party will have nothing to do. All voters will have a say in nonpartisan races, including who should serve as the state's labor commissioner. They'll also decide whether the state can implement a set of tax and fee increases to fund road maintenance. Oregonians must be U.S. citizens and at least 18 years old on Election Day to be eligible to vote. You can register or just check your existing party affiliation at the Oregon Secretary of State's website. Prospective voters can also visit their county elections office to ensure they can participate in the May 19 election, but they have to do so by Tuesday, April 28th. I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
With a primary and then the midterm elections on the horizon, and with the Trump administration's recent efforts to change how people are able to vote, county clerks in Oregon are working hard to stay informed and inform voters. Tillamook County Clerk Christy Nyseth says changes put forward by President Donald Trump's stalled SAVE Act will not impact the May 19th primary in Oregon. But she doesn't know how her office would comply with the bill's identification and verification requirements if it were passed. Nyseth says legislation as well as rhetoric in recent years have undercut trust in the election system. She assures voters that her office is apolitical and committed to accurately counting every vote cast. Every election, around 300 people in Tillamook County may receive a reissued ballot. Nyseth says this happens when people move or change their name close to Election Day. If a reissued ballot or a replacement ballot is scanned in addition to the original ballot, it will trigger a review. Nyseth says her office has been working to identify and rectify potential duplicate voters or other errors. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald. Online at TillamookHeadlightHerald.com.
Ballots start to go out tomorrow for Oregon's May 18th primary election. An election and voting resource page will be available at KMUN.org as of today. There you'll find links to state and county information, local voting pamphlets, ballot drop-off information, and some of the reporting KMUN and its partners have done around local races. There are also links to audio and video of a recent candidates forum held in Astoria. That event featured candidates in contested races for state Senate and state representative seats, as well as the Clatsop County Board of Commissioners. All of that and more at KMUN.org.
Sewer rates in the city of Tillamook are expected to go up 35% as leaders explore the possibility of a bond to fund infrastructure projects and avoid double-digit increases in the future. The Tillamook City Council plans to consider a resolution for the sewer rate increase at its May 4th meeting. Councillor Hope Bouchard is opposed to the increase, saying she was concerned about the impacts of large rate increases. City Manager Sean Lewis says the goal is to have a proposed bond measure on the November 2027 ballot. He stressed that his concern is to stop the bleeding at the city's waterways facility, which has seen six large line failures in the past 4 months without funds allocated to pay for them. The city council has delayed a decision to increase water rates for Tillamook ratepayers. Councillors asked Lewis to gather more information on what increase, if any, is necessary this year to maintain access to a Business Oregon line of credit. The city secured the line of credit last year, but is not currently using it. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at TillamookHeadlightHerald.com.
This is local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Katie Frankowitz. A local transportation project that's been stuck in limbo for more than 2 years in Pacific County, Washington, is showing signs of life. The Pacific County Commission voted earlier this month to accept a grant from the Cowlitz-Wakayakum Council of Governments for pre-construction work on the proposed Seaview to Iwako connector pathway. the estimated $5 million project would provide a 1.4-mile bike and pedestrian connecting trail between Ilwaco and the rest of the Long Beach Peninsula along US 101. Currently, anyone looking to walk this route has to travel along the side of the highway. Ilwaco officials say the proposed connector trail will benefit students, residents, and tourists alike, and could also reduce single car trips, easing congestion on the highway. The story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. Turning in late library books can be kind of embarrassing, but imagine if those books were decades overdue. NWPB's Courtney Flatt has this story about a couple very late books.
A Good Samaritan recently inherited an old book collection, and thumbing through the books, they discovered two belonged to the Richland Public Library. The checkout date card noted that the books were due in 1962. Chris Nolf manages the Richland Public Library. He says both books were biographies on Henry Ford.
In the books, too, we found a form about how to write essays.
So they think perhaps the books were checked out to a student. While 60-plus years could rack up an estimated $3,000 fine, Nolf says the library recently decided to do away with late fees. He says those fees prevent people from checking out books and don't generate much money for the library. I'm Courtney Flatt in Richland.
Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and the KMUN News Department. Our news broadcasts air Monday through Thursday, beginning at 7:59 in the morning and 4:59 in the evening. If you have a news tip or story idea, get in touch. Email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Up next, American Democracy Minute.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A California ballot question requiring government-issued ID for voting qualified for the November 3rd ballot, April 24th. It would narrow voter ID options and require elections officials to verify citizenship for both new and previously registered voters. Under longstanding California law, voters must be U.S. citizens and may attest to citizenship under penalty of perjury when registering. Voter ID is required at registration using a driver's license or Social Security number. Voters without those documents can register but must provide ID when they vote the first time, as do voters who register by mail or online. Current ID options can include a driver's license or state ID card, U.S. passport, student or military ID, or a utility bill, bank statement, or paycheck. Under that system, California has no widespread fraud. The proposed amendment narrows ID options to government-issued IDs or four digits of a Social Security number. It requires election officials to verify citizenship for both new voters and the millions already registered who attested to citizenship and report progress annually. Director of UCLA's Safeguarding Democracy Project, Rick Hassan, warns the vaguely drafted measure is short on details, including the definition of government-issued, and he expects substantial litigation. We've linked to the ballot measure at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.